Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to see another huge turnout here and a lot of interest in this project. So I want to proceed without further ado. I'm going to just give a few notes on sort of the context of the C3 project. And I guess I'm sort of the senior chronologically member of the team, but related to a different Picasso, I believe it was Pablo, a different Pablo, Pablo Casals, said, "Why do you?" Someone asked him, "Why do you keep practicing at age 90 when you're at the top of your game?" And his answer was, "I think I'm making progress." So, we're formally required to make a disclosure here. This is really in the interest of transparency. Because these are not technically commercial interests in this project. The Amgen funding was provided by the Amgen Foundation, charitable foundation, through the National AHEC organization. And Sanofi U.S. has supported some of the current activity this year as a sponsorship through their corporate affairs prevention program. So it's not related to anything for either company related to product development or marketing. But we felt for full transparency, we should be saying something about that. So the rationale behind this project, it was a number of folks felt that it was time, being some 17 years since the National Community Health Advisor Study, which is published by the University of Arizona, and Lee Rosenthal and a number of other folks in this room were leaders of that project. That was really the seminal work on the issue of the core roles and skills and qualities of community health workers in terms of a national look at this. And so it was time for, with all of the changes and the real spike in interest in community health workers and the evolving roles of community health workers, to take a look at where we really stand now. But it was also important as we see increasing attention to the development of educational opportunities and definitions and standards, and in some states certification for community health workers, for us to try and get kind of on the same page. And so being able to provide some background for policy guidance is an indication of this. In my personal experience, just about every state in the union is at some point in trying to develop policies around community health workers, right? And the last couple of holdouts are probably doing something I don't know about yet. But but a lot of them are looking for guidance from each other. And what often happens is that a state is trying to figure out what to do. Their first reaction is to call Gail. And she's very generous with her, very gracious with her time, even though it's really not what she's supposed to be doing. But the other thing, and many of you may have been on the giving or receiving end of this question of where's a good training curriculum, or we're trying to figure out what to put in a training curriculum. Can you give us some advice? Or do you know a good training curriculum that we can adopt? And a lot more folks are asking those kind of questions. Well, people have different preferences in terms of the design of training curricula, but it would be helpful, many of us thought, that we have some common understanding of what the roles and skills are that should be the basis of those kind of curricula. So the project really began several years ago with some initial support from Amgen, which is administered by Coastal AHEC in Texas. And they began collecting information on existing community health worker training curricula. And then what's next? So what do we do after that? And so we spoke to Leslie Hargrove, who was here from Coastal AHEC, with the Amgen folks about what we could do next. It was really to take a look at take a fresh look at the roles and skills and qualities of community health workers in a contemporary context, and see if we can get people to buy into that, to contribute to those definitions and then to buy into them, to endorse them or adopt them, but to spread a kind of consensus, which is why the word consensus in the title of the project. Can we reach a greater level of consensus around what these roles and skills and qualities ought to be? And so that's what we have embarked on, and you'll be hearing more in a second about the details of that. But it was really intended to be a contemporary look and move the marker down the field in terms of greater understanding of the field, even among community health workers themselves, so that they are talking in the same terms with each other and having a dialogue about core roles and skills using the same terminology. So it's meant to be a tool for understanding on the part of both CHWs and other stakeholders about the future of the field. So I'll turn it over next to Caitlin Allen for the methods.
So I'll be providing some additional background and context for C3, which, as Carl mentioned, really sought to undertake a contemporary look at the roles and skills based on both secondary data analysis and then also this large consensus building process. So as you can see, we've had quite a bit of involvement across the U.S. Throughout this whole project, and this just outlines each of the different phases and groups of individuals that have been involved, and the arrow points to continual consensus and involvement from you all. So this image breaks down this project into kind of two phases, and that's how we've been conceptualizing it. The first was the crosswalk analysis, and then the second, which led into the consensus building stage, the second phase. And so I'll start by taking you through the first box, which laid the foundation for all of the work we've been doing this fall. As Carl mentioned, we began by using the roles and skills that were listed and defined in the National Community Health Advisor Study from 1998. And this study was led by Lee Rosenthal, Noelle Wiggins, and Nell Brownstein. And they, in the early 90s, really worked to collect primary data from community health representatives. And the C3 project team really felt that the definitions and work that went into this were an appropriate kind of starting point for C3 to define the new contemporary roles and skills of CHWs. From there, we collected 7 benchmark documents, or as Carl mentioned, the contemporary sets of roles and skills. And you can see that these came from California, the CHR program, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Oregon, and Texas. This is the original roles, skills, and qualities that the NCHES came up with, and this is where we began the crosswalk. And we'll talk more later about the qualities, but for the crosswalk analysis, the team focused on the roles and skills. And we don't expect you to be able to read this slide, but it is meant to show you what the crosswalk looked like. And so listed in the rows are all of the 1998 roles and skills, and then across the columns were every single contemporary document. And a small group of individuals went through tediously to find any new information or information that built upon the 1998 roles and skills. And up to this point in the project, it was primarily this secondary data analysis and working with a small group of individuals and consultants to dig into the crosswalk. But what comes next, this consensus building, is really what I think makes C3 an exceptional and important project because it involves so many other stakeholders that are sitting in this room. So we started with an advisory committee that was led by Jackie and Catherine, and if you were part of the advisory committee, raise your hand or stand up I mean, thank you for the wonderful work that you've done, yes. And this was the first group to really dive into the roles and skills crosswalk that I just mentioned and help us move this work outward and into the hands of other stakeholders. Next, the smaller team of individuals worked on building a report that would help to provide context for the roles and skills and qualities. And so this process with the readers panel was led by Darrell Fox, Gail Hirsch, and then others in the room were part of the readers panel report process as well. Hands up. Yes, thank you. And next, this was the work that we have been pursuing this fall, and this process of providing and having a network review was started on the advice from an advisory committee member who said that the roles and skills needed to get out to the networks and get endorsed by the networks and really have them give feedback and provide some more buy-in for the work that's been happening. And so the team had a list of 40 CHW networks, and 23 of the 40 responded to a call from the C3 team to say that they were willing to dig into the roles and skills and look at them with their networks. And all 23 submitted feedback just a month or so ago. And I think that this part of the process was kind of an end on itself. And we have buddy networks working together from across the country to help guide each other through the process of looking at the roles and skills. And we also asked that the network review be led by CHWs and that there was a majority CHW group looking at the work, looking at this. And we'll get into this more later as well, but would like to point out that post-APHA, we anticipate that all CHW networks will have the opportunity to endorse and review the final set of roles and skills before the 2016 report comes out. And in addition to, and simultaneously while the networks were reviewing the roles and skills, we put together an advisory group. And this has been our final team that has carefully reviewed all of the network feedback and provided input into this the final set of roles and skills that we'll present today. So if you are a part of the advisory group, thank you. And so next, Darrell will share a little bit of information about self-determination and get us into the roles and skills.
Hello again, everyone. I really felt I wanted to speak to this because I've seen programs and I've worked with a lot of projects, and I always appreciate and applaud those projects that build in Kuji Jakalia, for those who know the Nguza Saba principles of Kwanzaa, self-determination for our workforce from the very beginning of the project. And so CHW self-determination was definitely one of the core values of the project, and it was inherent within the project funding as well by creating the majority CHW advisory board, supporting the fellows, and you guys saw the slide about the network review. It wasn't just that the networks reviewed it. It was that while the networks are reviewing, this has not been disseminated. In other words, we felt that we needed that feedback from those networks and associations and that we would tweak this based upon their feedback before it got disseminated widely to others. I have not seen that with other reports and other types of things that have happened out there. So I think that's critically important to understand, and I hope that's something that other projects moving forward will embrace as well as you move forward. Okay, let's see. And next up, we're gonna talk about roles, qualities, and skills. So I'll start by saying that qualities, am I in the right place, guys? Yeah. Qualities are kind of instrumental and fundamental and a foundation for the roles and skills, which we will get in more detail about. And that's all I'll say about that. Here you'll notice this wonderful word called qualities. these are some very important words that we respect and are part of the root of our practice. Those of you who were in the earlier session heard some of the root of our practice. Community, respectful, desire, persistent, responsible, connected, honest. And I really want to ask Sergio, who's been well-versed in qualities, to come up and talk a little bit about those.
Thank you, colleagues. So I've been working with this C3 team for a while. I was taking a back seat there because it's a big team and you didn't want to overwhelm your front. I guess the reason that I've been invited to speak about CHW qualities is because I've dedicated like the last 10 years of my life to building the science around documenting the importance of this issue. So tengo patrimonio, tengo experiencia que le puedo prestar a este esfuerzo. So in that sense, I just wanted to let you know that we have actually done a lot of the science that has informed this process, and we've done a lot of market analysis, both with CHW practitioners ourselves and with our employers and funders and regulators, to really articulate what is it that people look for in a CHW and what are the elements that CHWs use to identify themselves as CHWs. And I will shamelessly let you know that I wrote a book on this, literally wrote the book. There is an entire chapter in my book dedicated to who is a CHW. It is published by Oxford University Press. So it's not a Harlequin novel. You know, it's a scholarly piece of work. So anyway, qualities, employers tell us that there are three, and CHWs tell us that there are three core elements that identify a CHW. One is, and the first and most important one that people consider is shared life experience. And that's matured from the original thing which people talked about, geographical, like living in the community. That's become more sophisticated to become an understanding of a shared life experience. The second most important thing that employers and CHWs tell us is that there are qualities that go into making a CHW. And that not just anyone can be a CHW. That it's not just a question of training or education or credentialing or licensing or anybody's approval. No, thank you. This is critical. This is what everybody tells us. This is what the market says. But that there are very specific personal, maybe even spiritual qualities that go into doing this work, and it identifies CHWs. So these are some of them. The science and the background of it is in my book if you want it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Yeah, the third is employment. Like, if an employer is willing to hire you as a CHW, then that probably helps. If there is no employer that's ever wanted to hire you, then, you know, you might want to consider whether you can do that work or not.
I just want to note that part of the network review also was endorsing the qualities. We didn't delve deep into having them dig into those qualities. We asked, would they endorse those qualities? We did dig deep into the roles and skills, and that's what we're going to move to next. What you see on the slide in front of you are the 10 core roles. And you guys can read those core roles, but I also want you to know that there were approximately 30 sub-roles also related. So most of the roles had at least 2 and some 5 sub-roles. I want to give you an example of 3 of those roles just to kind of highlight. You'll see role number 1 is cultural mediation among individuals, communities, health, and social service systems. Some of the sub-roles under this include educating individuals and communities about how to use health and social service systems, including understanding how the systems operate. Number B under sub-role 1 is educating systems about community perspectives and cultural norms, including supporting implementation of class, culturally and linguistically appropriate services. Item number C is building health literacy and cross-cultural communications. Also, if you look at role number 5, which is advocating for individuals and communities, which the session before this really delved deep into. Yay. Okay. A, advocating for the needs and perspectives of communities, connecting to resources and advocating for basic needs, and then the final sub-role is conducting policy advocacy. And then finally, I want to give you an example of role number 9, which is conducting outreach. And some of those sub-roles include case finding and recruitment of individuals, follow up on health and social service encounters with individuals, families, community groups, home visiting to provide education, assessment, and social support, and then presenting at local agencies and community events. Next, we want to move into skills. I'd like to ask Jackie, talk about skills.
So hi, everyone. So in terms of skills, we have here a list of skills and or competencies. They include many that are familiar to us from the 98 Community Health Advisory Study. I'm going to highlight just a couple of them and just talk about how I use them in the work that I do. So the first skill that I'm going to talk about is communication skills. We as community health workers use language in ways to engage, motivate, and empower our communities, whether it's through health preventative education, connecting them to community resources, using our active listening skills to help them identify barriers or set goals pertaining to certain life issues. It's important that as community health workers, we always remember that individuals in our community, change is difficult. So it's important that we respect their culture, their traditions, and their values, which help guide us when we are engaging in communication with them. As a CHW, also it's imperative that the language that we use, is plain and clear. It's important to respect and meet our families or clients where they are. So when we look at a real-time issue that many of us, in terms of the Affordable Care Act that has come out of that, a big issue that we've been dealing with as community health workers is health literacy. For many of the families that I work with at my Equity Center, for them to be able to enroll in health insurance or navigate through the health plans that they have, it's very difficult. So for us, it's more times than not, I find myself trying to explain to them in simpler terms what their plan entails and how to navigate through that. So it's really important that we use simple language and meet them where they are. In terms of the skill of capacity building, these skills are important because we as CHWs are working in the community. We are developing trusting relationships with the community that we serve. A huge part of that is developing these relationships with individuals in our communities to help them identify the challenges and barriers they may have in their personal lives and help them to set goals and to navigate through those barriers. They also include addressing any disparities that come from systematic oppressions and helping them with real issues like poverty and unemployment. So to be able to help build individual capacity is important. In terms of community capacity building, we're always engaging in relationships with other social agencies, building connections, connecting our families to resources, and also making sure that we are advocating for the community that we serve. And we also really work towards striving towards collaborative impact within the community as well. So a skill set that you're going to see on this that was new and stemmed from this project was knowledge base and skills. Knowledge base supports all the skills that are outlined on this slide. These are skill sets that are at the foundation and core that we do as CHWs. These skills are transferable whether we work in health, human and social services. Some of the sub-skills that fall under the knowledge-based skills include the knowledge about social determinants of health and the related disparities, knowledge about pertinent health issues, knowing about the healthy lifestyles and self-care, knowledge about mental, behavioral health issues and their connection to physical health, knowledge about health behavior theories, knowledge about basic public health principles, knowledge about the community we serve, and knowledge about United States health and social service systems. Next one. And now, we, as part of our presentation, we're going to have an interactive session, and we're going to ask Noel Wiggins and Sergio to come up, and any individuals that participated in a network review. Thank you.
Dr. Noel Wiggins and Sergio Matos. I'm Lee Rosenthal, and I've been directing the C3 project, and we had a great opportunity, Noel and I, to work together years ago with a number of people still in the room. Noel Brownstein visits with us here to direct the National Community Health Advisory Study, and Noel is the person within that study, as many of you know, who led the core role of competency definitions that we all still refer to today. So that list that you saw, which is our baseline for the study, is a tribute to Noel. And we were able to pull that from community health representative programs, community health worker programs, in urban, rural, tribal settings all across the country to start this open baseline. We didn't start with an existing list. I watched that woman work that data and create that list. That software was available to do qualitative analysis. So right now, as a part of just sort of embracing where we've come to, if I could have anybody in the room who actually participated in the network review process, Jaleesa, I saw you, you know, Jackie, come on up if you're in our network review. Your role number one, your role number 10, which is a new role added. Hi, Carol, you are. Okay, I need a lot more bodies, so. You're a skill. Stand over here. Skill. Free.
EJ.
Anybody else? You were a part of the team, even if you didn't lead that team. I know there's some people in here from Georgia.
Behind me. Sonia. We have Sonia Joseph.
Sonia, you come on this side.
There we go.
You go over
here. This is Victoria.
Okay.
Sonia was a big team. There we go.
I think you can
actually join. Yeah, okay.
So, Carl, when we started this project, we thought, well, we'll map the roles and skills. We'll figure out, like, each role and what skills support it, and we'll make this process. And, you know, somewhere about week three, we said, maybe that's a little ambitious. We might not get that far. We also had all these different kinds of things that we integrated while moving, building the bicycle while riding it, and, like, the network review process, which came out of, by the way, an enormous, in a sense, volunteer effort from networks, from folks who helped with TA, we all stepped up. We had sort of, we decided we had a bigger scope than our funding accounted for, and just kept on moving. So these are some of the people who are part of that, and many of you also in the audience. So what I've done is given Noel sort of this foundational base. She really redefined how we look at roles, skills, and qualities, calling qualities and skills competence. And if you can see in that slide that Darrell had to go by the bottom, is the qualities. And Sergio said, why aren't we reevaluating qualities? We basically said, we know what they are. They're critical. And so, you know, these are kind of the foundational pieces of where we started. The review itself is on roles and skills. So I can have you step forward, Jackie. Jackie is holding role number one. You want to read it out loud?
Cultural mediation among individuals, communities, and health and social service systems.
Now, skills, look carefully at your cards. And we don't want every skill to come over here, but if you think that you support this role, walk on over. Just walk on over and we'll have you read. Okay, it's cultural mediation among individuals, communities, and health and social service systems. This is the first role that we identified. So that linking, bridging around cultural mediation, again, could be between systems, one-to-one. So if you're a skill that supports that, so read out your skills and we just... They're all coming? Okay. Communication.
Interpersonal and relationship building skills.
advocacy?
Capacity building skills.
Individual
assessments. I think it's fine. There's some skills over there, because the idea is that every skill supports every role. So skills, back to your corner. Okay, and we'll take role number 10. Just in the interest of time, we kind of skipped, zip them down to the end. Thank you, Jackie Polito. Jolisa Castillo, by the way, has helped us in the process as a CHW fellow during the network review process. We did some bilingual calls. We're very grateful for Jolisa from Wisconsin to play that role with us. And so now Jolisa's got a new role that was kind of emerging in 1994 to 98, but did not make it on the list.
So it is participating in evaluation and research.
Now, if you're a skill, I know some of you are over there that didn't come last time, why don't you step up first? Surprisingly, what is this skill?
Evaluation and research.
This is rocket science, folks. Okay. Other skills, the thing you might be involved if you're really looking at how do I teach this to folks, would I come over?
Communication.
Service
navigation. Excuse me, service coordination
navigation.
Capacity building skills.
Mm-hmm.
Individual and community assessment
skills. Yeah. So you can see this process of mapping, and a way to kind of begin to break it down is, you know, this, we thought, just bring it to life. What are these roles and skills, and what do they contribute to in making this information come to life for us as a field? And there are a lot of folks in the room who are community health workers, who are allies, who are playing some kind of role in supporting in that ally role, programs on the ground, individuals, CHWs in service, or funders. But, you know, to bring this stuff to life, we're working in the years ahead to do that. So thank you all, and thank you for your room.
Mentioned before, we're at a stage where we're looking outward to ask how we can maximize the utility of the C3 project findings and to support and strengthen CHW practice and policy. And so we'll go through a few examples of what's already been happening, and then would love to have conversations with you all after the presentation or during Q&A about further kind of strengthening the work. So these are some examples of already existing support and endorsement that came from an early release to a handful of states that sought results to further some key initiatives in their state. So for example, Illinois has been working with creating a coordinated response to a state legislature and asked for support from the C3 project and was to look at the roles and skills and be able to point to some national work that was happening. Additionally, these are some other opportunities that we have brainstormed to continue maximizing the usefulness of the qualities, roles, and skills. And we will hear next, in the next presentation, from Wisconsin, who has been able to link the C3 work with their apprenticeship program. So we'll look forward to that as well. And next, Jarrell is going to carry us forward into some more endorsement information and next steps.
Thank you, everyone. As you can see on this slide, the critical piece of this work was also receiving endorsement from key stakeholders. So one item you see on here is looking to stakeholders and wider community to endorse the role, skills, and qualities as they pertain to their organization or public body. That's kind of one of the next steps that will be happening. Formally acknowledging the roles and skills and qualities or adopting those roles and skills is another ask for endorsement as well. And we're also asking that groups document their decisions in some kind of a formal record as well. And there's also some further network review that's going to be assisting as well. We'll actually be asking all networks for endorsement before the 2016 release of the report. So again, back to that self-determination piece where before it's disseminated to others, we want the blessing of those formed and forming networks and associations. So please be on the lookout for that. Thank you.
So You know, in terms of that endorsement step, as Carl always will remind us, he keeps taking the word final report off of our docket. Carl, we want to have something end here. So, you know, phase two, Leslie did some foundational work through the AHEC in Texas. Then came this piece of the project, which has been really quite an amazing journey for the past, I'd say, we kicked off at Unity last year. So, you know, at the end of this year, about a year and a half. And we are very optimistic about moving into some further work. So this endorsement piece that we talk about, the concept, actually, I want to acknowledge the policy committee of APHA talking with Ashley Wennerstrom about sort of what are we asking people to endorse? Because we've got this sort of lengthy report to put it in context in terms of methods and so forth, which you've had a lot of great input on. But now we're going to put sort of a preamble in front of this list of roles and skills and qualities and send it to the list we now understand is 50-some strong of CHW networks across the country. And we are going to, for example, with the wisdom of my colleague Maria Lemos from California, think about, you know, asking for that endorsement, but also asking for what, you know, is it that you can't endorse, so that there'll be, you know, at the end of the year, a way to sort of say, here's the 90% of things that we get behind, here's the 10% we're not so sure of. And I think that'll really set our agenda for 2016 and beyond as a field, as a collaborative field. So let's see if I know what to press here. So future directions for the project. We're hoping that and feeling very optimistic about some funding for 2016. We've already been very grateful to the Sanofi Corporation to sort of fund the last leg of this journey this fall and bring some resources to the team. And we're looking into 2016. And these are some of the future directions that we have identified as a team, and this meaning all the people you've seen up and down in the room having some role in creating this list. We look now, I think at the ones that were highlighted even just a week ago, we were looking at a longer list, but I think we've now narrowed our key next steps to the continued work on consensus building, which will be going on in 2016 with the team. Carl will be playing a leading role, not only reaching out in CHW communities, but also reaching out now to all the kind of allied organizations, associations, and so forth across the country that at the state and national level will be critical to pull in. A second area will be looking at CHW roles, skills, and qualities in varied settings, and I will look forward to leading that piece, and I'm newly based as a faculty member in the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine in El Paso, Texas, which gives me this new vantage point on the medical world that I surely have never had before, teaching first and second year medical schools. And, you know, for example, applause to my new employer, said, will you create a fourth year elective course on community health workers that really, you know, is open nationwide to folks? And I'm excited to be involved in that and really looking at how this school can play a leading role in looking at where CHWs fit in medical home teams. We are kind of in the cradle of Promotoria in El Paso, in Texas, and we have, I think, great opportunities there. And then the final piece that we're looking to deepen, Caitlin will take a leading role in this, and there'll be lots of opportunities for others to play a role, but these are sort of, at the moment, the core pieces that we're moving forward is the development of assessment tools. We found that that also stimulated the greatest interest, and lots of the current partners who've been involved. Assessment of the skills and the ability to perform those skills in relation to supportive roles. Did I get that right, Carl? Okay. And we also, I mean, these others that are highlighted are among our other areas of interest, and we may be able to bundle some of those into the three focus areas that we're looking forward to working in. So when we think, so there's my favorite story, which any of you have been involved in the project have heard me tell you. My 17-year-old son is I went into labor when I wrote the last, like, literally letter for the National Community Health Advisor Study Report. Dear readers, you know. Well, now he's driving a car. He's home alone for the first time. Quite a headache. My husband, Dr. Jorge Ubar, has been playing a big support role with the C3 project. And, you know, we met at APHA 25 years ago this year. So. So, you know, this has been a while since we finished the National Community Health Advisor Study, and, you know, when your kid drives off in the car and we still haven't sort of revisited those roles and skills, Noelle and I agreed, it's time, we all agreed, we better look at this. But, you know, is 10 years the right interval? I think the field will tell us, but we think that this process and whatever we come to in the end of the next year or so, it should be a routine to revisit these things. And as Caitlin mentioned, it's so important to look at the new small things that come on the agenda, the new big things. Actually, knowledge base was always a part of the National Community Health Advisor Study skills, but what's happened is that knowledge base has grown to have more and more content of what's key there. And that's possibly where we spend 50% of the training hours in CHW field, just some preliminary data we looked at way back in 94 to 98. But, you know, this is critical to look at what changes, what pushes us forward. In New Mexico, I know they're looking more at clinical skills and the key for CHRs. Majorline Begay, who was here earlier, sends her greetings as a part of APHA's ability to sort of welcome in this project and keep us moving. You know, each state may have different needs. Each group of CHWs may have different needs. So we want to make sure this kind of list of what are the usual and core areas is better defined. And in the preamble that Ashley suggested we put on this list of roles and skills, we're going to try to kind of define, what do we mean by this? Does everyone do all these things? Well, not quite done, right? Okay, so just in wrapping up, I really want to acknowledge that this has been an in-kind and fiscally funded project by numbers of organizations that played key roles in keeping us going. And, you know, many of the kinds of support that came are not from a formal organization, but just the kind of ongoing leadership. And we have had, I think we were trying to update this slide, but Leslie Hargrove and Jorge Ibarra are clearly part of our core team. And this team has been essential. All of the names here, the ones in red are at the conference with us, but all of them have been really sort of at the wee hours, the 24/7 on call, made this project go. And I really want to thank everybody for their tremendous effort, especially also Catherine Haywood, who is a CHW fellow on the project, could not come for medical reasons, but really critical part of our project. Jolise, I also recognize, you know, you as part of our fellow team. So this last slide, unfortunately, we updated it but didn't get in the system. So thank you all. So finally, info at c3project.org is our main contact, our mastermind behind all our technology there. He gets all those emails and forwards them to all of us, or somehow they all get to me too. But anyway, this is for, you know, if you want to be involved in this in the future, haven't been connected in some way, please use that email to contact us. And thank you also to Gail for keeping us on time and being part of the readers panel on the project. So big community here.